Hello and welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going this week?
Pretty good. I mean, before we jumped on this call, I was going to say like it's been a stressful couple of weeks, but you accidentally turned your camera on this week. So things are looking up from here. I get to look at
you. You feel better about yourself after looking at me.
No, but I get to see your wife's beautiful art and you get to see like a random cat picture in the background. So, I mean, I don't know what else I could ask for.
I love it. With COVID and stuff, I'd been co-working quite a bit. And with COVID, obviously, all that stuff is shut down. And so, like, yeah, we're in a makeshift working arrangement here, but I think it's makeshift for the foreseeable future. So trying to get pretty comfy with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But how have things been on your end?
Good, man. Good. You know, we talked like in the last episode about Denise, our kind of head of marketing, leaving. And honestly, a lot of that, you know, here really a couple weeks after she's taken a step back, at least, and like her last official day was about 2 weeks ago at this point. Yeah, I mean, things are okay. There are a few things that are on my plate that I'm trying to manage or delegate or find somebody to take control of. But really, everything else is you know, been assigned and delegated pretty well. So I feel good about that. I think there was a potential to really drop the ball on a few things, but that's not happened. And that was my big fear. So feeling pretty good about that so far. So that's probably my big win in the last few weeks.
That's awesome. And you were talking before we started recording about an email that came in recently that kind of got the wheels turning a little bit. Can you share what that was?
Yeah. So the short version is it was a pitch from a venture capital firm asking if we were interested in raising money and, you know, hop on a call to just chat. And I have talked about this quite a bit, like with Rob and even like with Dave on Rogue Startups, I've talked about it some. But I guess this is the first time I've been close enough to where, like, in the past, it was just like really philosophical. Like, when would you take money? And now I'm like, oh, we're like, you know, a decent sized business. We're 8 people and we're doing all this stuff.
You've got, like, traction. You've got numbers that could make the pitch like pretty, like you could get money.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think like what we wanted to talk to you today. So you had an episode on your podcast of a guy that kind of got some traction and then raised. And so like all the questions that he asked himself in the process he went through. So I figured we would kind of ask ourselves those questions as a bit of therapy for me, but for folks out there who are going through the same thing, to say like, okay, if you're at this point and you're looking at the market, you know, what do you need to evaluate to say, is this a good decision or not? Is venture capital the right thing, or is another kind of financing instrument the right thing, or do you need more money, or do you just need more time? So I figured we'd kind of just kind of spitball through a few of those questions that, as of getting this email this morning, I'm asking myself, and we all might should be too.
Yeah, because some of the things that I was thinking about when you brought this up is just like the first thing that when people are looking to raise money in the very early days, they have to see like, okay, am I building something somebody wants? Like, is there a market there? How big is that market? All those things. And I think in your case, you're far enough along where, and it's also just like true that like, we're on a podcast right now. There are lots of podcasts. Like, people need a podcast host. It's not really a question of like, is this a thing? The market is massive and growing. Your business has built a product in that market that has grown and is growing. And like, you're at a certain amount of scale and all that. And so it's like, you've kind of checked those initial boxes of like, $1 billion plus company. Maybe that's a different story, but like, could it significantly get like, is $100 million exit theoretically possible in some case? Like, yeah, I think you might have to change the way you do things. But like that kind of moonshot is out there. And so like, you've checked that box. And a lot of it now, I think, comes down to you, like what you're looking for. What are kind of the questions you're asking yourself about just like, do I want this? Do I not? Like what's that internal kind of dialogue looking like?
Yeah. It's funny because I got an email from somebody who has kind of heard me on podcasts and stuff, I guess, asking me about this. And so now I'm asking, you know, you about this and kind of philosophizing about it. And so I think like the first question is like, from a very personal standpoint, personal like perspective, do I want to be in a business that's backed by venture capital and the strings that come along with it? Tiny Seed is very low pressure in terms of our kind of performance expectations. I put a lot more pressure on myself than Rob and Einar do. And so that has been a good alignment. And I kind of knew that going into it. That's the only reason that we did it, as I wouldn't have, you know, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have joined Tiny Seed if I knew it was going to be like this pressure cooker. And I guess the only thing that's different now is, like you said, we're farther along that, like, some of, like, meeting those performance expectations seems easier to me now. You know, like, we have this scale, we have this traction, we have this platform that, like, pulling levers is easier now than it was when we were at, you know, 7,000 MRR. So that's the first question. That's one I definitely don't have an answer to, but I think that'd be like the first question everybody needs to answer is, like, do you want to be in a situation where you have a partner that their goal is for you to exit the company with as much money as possible so they can get their return?
That was something that I interviewed. It won't be going out for a bit, but I interviewed Luke Thomas, who's a local entrepreneur who started a kind of remote working, an app in the remote working space. And it's called Friday, and he's raised $2 million. And it was just talking about that. And, like, those are my questions. It's like, everyone always, especially in our world, I feel like we have this sort of, like, mythical idea of, like, this venture capitalist, like, sitting there in his suit with, like, smoking a cigar, just kind of, like, yelling at us to, like, work harder and work longer and make more money and all of that. And so I'm just like, what does it, like, actually look like? And I think it is different for every business, but if you're not giving up a board seat and you're not giving up control, it's like, I feel like in the early rounds of a raise, like, if you're not, like, in your Series B and C where you don't have control, you have a real board, you have all that, like, I don't think it's that different than where you are now, where, like, you're going to be the one putting the pressure on yourself. Like, the expectations would definitely shift. In order to get the raise, you'd probably have to sell a bigger game plan. I don't think, unless you're on, like, the VC treadmill of constantly raising, that it would necessarily have to be this, like, breathing down your neck kind of a situation. And that's where I think it would be important, is just being sure that if that's one of the major pieces that's important to you, is, like, be clear with potential investors about that. And then if you're not sure they're on the same page, and, like, don't take the money. I feel like we kind of, in the microconf sort of world, view it as more black and white than it actually is. And that, especially in those early rounds, it does seem to be a bit more gray there.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that there are, I don't say prejudices, but prejudice biases against venture capital and the partnership aspect that they can bring in the kind of bootstrappy microconf indie hacker community. And I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'm sure some of it is well-founded, but I think some of it is probably a misconception that a lot of people have. Yeah, and I think that there are definitely good venture capitalists in this respect and bad venture capitalists in this respect, that like, there are people that will be great partners. You know, I think Josh Pigford, you know, wrote about selling Baremetrics recently, and he, I think, had a really good partner there in his investor. He took a very small amount of money early on. And that would be really important to me, like, that and, like, maintaining control of the business. And I don't know, depending on how much money you raise, I don't know that you can entirely can retain control of the business if you take a lot of money. So
when you're thinking about how much to raise, you naturally kind of have to think about what you're working towards. Like, okay, like, what is the scale of business I'm shooting for? What is realistic? What will it take to get there, or at least get to the next step? And so what do you see that as for Castos? Like, what do you see as the, not even necessarily the moonshot, but just, like, what is the kind of, what would a home run look like?
Yeah. And I think that, to maybe, like, ask the question a different way is, and maybe this is not the same question, is, like, what could we do differently if we took a bunch of money that we couldn't do now to get us to, like, another place? You know, maybe that's kind of, like, part of the step, because, like, I'm answering this in a long way, but I think this is, like, the mindset is, like, if we didn't do anything, and if, like, you were entirely bootstrapped, if we hadn't joined Tiny Seed, it would just be a long road, and entirely bootstrapping, reinvesting in the business, not paying yourself very much for a long time, all this kind of stuff, until you get the flywheel to going to where you can kind of, like, really reinvest the business and hire a bunch of people and move quickly. You know, we kind of took one step forward there. And I think doing this would be like taking 10 or 100 steps forward. And so, I mean, there are definitely technology things that we would love to build. There's a lot of them. You know, we're going to be 4 developers soon. We could be 20, you know, and we wouldn't raise that much, but we could be 10 and I would have plenty of stuff to keep them all busy. So I think like a fair amount of it is product stuff. A fair amount of it is like marketing and education stuff. I mean, if I look at like where we're already investing our money, it's just a lot more of a lot of the same things. But then I think we would have to diversify from like a product and market perspective, diversify into things like an ad network, becoming an ad network and having dynamic ad insertion. We would have to think about like selling ads to companies. And then, you know, because if you look at like, that's where a lot of these companies really make their money. Like Megaphone was acquired by Spotify. But the main reason for that was for their ad technology. So like all the stuff and, you know, private podcasting and then premium podcasting, right? So like you or us getting paid directly for people having access to this podcast is the other thing. And so like, I think that's the path that you would have to go down and go down it pretty strongly to say like, we have this core of hobbyist podcasters, and then we have this place where the company really has the ability to have expansion revenue and really high value customers, either in ad technology or in like paid access.
Mm-hmm. How close is that path to the path you would see yourself going down without money? Like, is that just accelerating where you plan to go, or is it taking a turn?
Yeah, I mean, I think the private podcasting and the membership stuff that we're in, like corporate podcasting that we're already on, would just be an acceleration of that. But I feel like we're already on the right line. The ad network stuff would need a bunch of money and like frankly, probably have to hire someone from one of the companies that's already doing it, because it's like this marketplace, right? You have customers that want ads on their podcast, but you also need the companies or the sponsors of those podcasts to provide the supply. And I mean, we've dabbled in it, and it is just, you need so much volume and inventory to make people happy. Because you think about like, if we wanted to advertise for this show, it would not be Casper mattresses, right? It would be like, you know, Active Campaign or whatever. And so you just need something for, you know, not everybody, but for a lot of different types of customers. And that's just something I don't like, as a mostly bootstrap company, I don't think we could do that.
If money, even just taking like VC or wherever the money comes from off the table, if money weren't a concern, would that be a route you would go? And when would you go there now?
That's a really good question. Yeah. If money weren't a concern, we would definitely go there.
Do you think you're at a spot where you're ready to go there?
In what respect?
Well, I guess from to like not try to like lead you along with questions, I'll just kind of share like what's running through my head right now is like, it seems that you're still gaining traction and learning in other areas of the business, specifically around the private and premium podcasting. And so to add, I just, even with money, would be hesitant to then add something that's like completely new. Mm-hmm. On top of that, that requires such an organizational shift. And so I guess, but that's me as an outsider. So I'm wondering if you, literally being in charge of things in the business, feel that you do have with extra money, you would have, it wouldn't be too big of an undertaking to try to have another bet out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is something that like talking with AD, like my mentor, he has very strongly encouraged me to focus on just one kind of initiative from like a product and marketing perspective. And this would definitely not be that. So I think it would be risky. I think the thing that money would do for you is you'd be able to hire like a VP level person to come in and say like, you ran podcast advertising at Acast or at wherever, and you do that now here, you know, and like you have access to the development team. You can make all the decisions. Well, almost all the decisions you want, just go for it. And then that's a small incremental amount of like mental space I have to allocate to that, because this person would be senior enough to where they would be able to kind of handle it. That would be the only way I would do it. And, you know, saying that out loud, like that wouldn't require a ton of money, right? It would be that person plus you know, say a developer to go build it and a couple of salespeople to go sell the inventory. You know, so that's $500,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean, that decision, again, even taking the VC part out of the equation, seems like it adds a massive amount of risk to the business. Because one, the less involved you are, the more risk there's going to be. Even if it's not an area of your expertise, then the risk is front loaded on the hire, making sure that you get in the person who can execute on this. But you're burning a lot of cash that could go towards other things. And it's a purely new bet. You're building something from scratch that doesn't have, it exists in the market. You know there is a need for this, but you're not sure if you can build a product that serves that market or build something that gets in front of that market. And so like all those things are answerable. Like you can overcome all of that, but it just adds a lot of things to do it. And as you, the more amount of money that it you have to place on that bet, this is just, yeah, from my like gambling background, it just seems like this is a bet that is expensive. The payoff is high, but it's not one of those asymmetric risks where the money does matter. It's not as though a bet you could place and easily undo it or cheaply undo it. And so this is where it comes down to kind of the founder convictions of, you know, the business, you know, the space, and you know vastly more than I do as an outsider of like, are those risks all real? How could you de-risk them? Is that the right way to go? Because I would almost be thinking just, am I able to see a big enough future for the business without even considering about the ad network side? Because that is the route that I feel like is closest to what you're trying to build with the lowest risk. But like this adds fuel to the fire, lets you bring on a bigger team and move faster towards a known destination that you're already moving towards and already have traction on. Whereas, and then it's a question of, okay, does the money help us get there faster? Like, is it worth the cost, whether it's debt or an equity raise? And I just think the calculus is an entirely different one the further away from that model you get.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think that the thing about, and this is specific for our business and like the options we have to get to the size of business that we would have to get to for like, if we took venture money for them to be happy with us exiting is, I think the private and the premium podcasting is definitely going to be a thing. There are very few people doing it and we're one of them and there are very few people doing it well. And so like, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think one of the risks is it's like a new thing, you know, it's kind of defining a new edge of the market and advertising is old as dirt and everybody gets it. A lot of people do it. You don't, you know, in some respects, like you don't need an audience that's willing to pay. You just need listeners. So from monetization, like from our customers' perspective, they feel like putting ads on their podcast is an easier sell than asking their friend to pay $5 a month.
To dig into the kind of what I would call like a expected value calculation, like just figuring out like, what is this bet worth? For private podcasting, you're betting on whether or not this will get big, whether or not this trend will continue, your ability to deliver on that, but you're already kind of delivering on that already. So that's a lower risk part of it. It's really just saying, what is the cost for us to execute on this bet, to place this bet? And then what is the risk that maybe it doesn't turn out that big? Whereas I think for the ad network side, there's just significantly more, because you're right, like that product market fit part of it, or just like, is this something that is advertising a model that works? Like, yes. It's just the execution risks and the cost just seems so much higher that I don't know. I feel like it's I'd be cautious. But again, that's where it's like the founder ultimately is the one making those calls because you feel like you have the information on it. And how big is like the, because there are some like enterprise only private podcasts, right? Like private podcast hosts.
Yep, there are. Yeah.
Do you have any concept of how big some of those are?
No.
Or what about like a Libsyn? Like, or like what are the?
Yeah, Libsyn is traded over the counter in the US. And so they had like 270 million last year, I think.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not true. Hang on.
So I see their market cap is about 100 million. They're... Why don't you just tell me how much they made in revenue?
Here, third quarter financial results. Hang on.
Okay, so it's about 7 million a quarter. So like, just assume that's average. And so call it like a little less than 30 million a year. And so yeah, for a $100 million business. And they do some enterprise stuff. What do you think the biggest the business could get, relatively speaking, without going the ad network route? Not necessarily your business, but just in general, man. What do you think is like the market would bear for that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely like the calculation I would have to do is like, how much would we want to raise? How much like would that need, like how much would we need to get us there over a period of a couple of years? I don't have any idea, man. I mean, say we're doing like $1 million a year right now. I mean, if Libsyn is 100, is it what they're...
They're doing 30 million a year.
30 million a year? I mean, I don't know. I would have to say, like, we would have to get at least that big, right? I mean, I think that's what a venture capitalist would want to hear, is like, we would have to be the biggest in the space. So I guess that's where, like, I hate to say I don't have a lot of confidence. Like, I don't have a lot of confidence of, like, from 1 to 50 million, like, what would we need to do? I think you'd have to say something like, if Libsyn's 30 million, we'd have to say we'd be able to get to 50 million. And then like, how do you get there? What are some rough sketches of, you know, ARPU and number of customers and acquisition rate and CAC and all that shit. Like, I can't do that math right now, but
no. And I agree with what you're saying, because that seems almost uninvestable as just a purely like podcast host, because you're then it's a market where I don't think it's not a commodity, but it's not as though you can build like a 10 plus X times better version of what exists. And if there already are those bigger players that are established, you have to find a way to like, say you can disrupt that. And I don't think that exists. So I think you're on the right track of saying, okay, what are the other markets we could do and to get to a similar size, more, not necessarily even more reliably, but just with, yeah, probably more reliable.
More certainty. Yeah.
And so private podcasting, the question is that a big enough market? Will that be a big enough market?
Will that be a thing? Or
ad network? Yeah. That's tough. I mean,
and I think that's been kind of one of my hitches with podcast hosting is it's not an email marketing software. It's not a CMS where literally everyone that has a website needs these things, you know, which is basically, I don't say every business in the world. Maybe every business in the world needs a podcast host at some point, but yeah, I don't know. I think that that's something we would need to have a lot of conviction. I would need to have a lot of conviction about is it, we would go from just podcast hosting to something quite bigger. And I would want to say what is Wistia doing a year, you know, because they're a big company, right? And so like, what is Wistia doing a year, and like how could we look to not move into video hosting space, but like start doing more like marketing media, like be a general marketing service or something? I don't know.
It almost feels like in a way this is kind of forcing, it has a cart before the horse, where if you have to get this far outside of the, because I think you're right, to go in a place a bet like this, you need a lot of conviction. And so it almost seems like you're trying to find the bet rather than like you have the conviction and you're like, this is where we want to go. This is how we're going to get there. And I guess that would just give me a lot of caution if I wasn't certain that I see there is some risk here, but I see a way we can get there. And I know that you can question how much probability of success it has, but the payoff is significant enough and I'm confident we can figure it out. But I feel like without that conviction, it's kind of scary road to go down.
Yeah. I think my biggest hesitation is the market is not big enough from where we are to expect us to be able to get as big as we would need to get for the investors to be happy. Like, I think I will be very happy in a few years. If things continue as they are, I'll be very happy. And, you know, whether we sell the business or it just becomes a very profitable business, like, I will be very happy. Tiny Seed should be very happy. But to say, like, could we 10x the business or more, like 50x the business, I think that's what they would be looking for. I don't see it. I don't think that means we couldn't, like, significantly kind of expand the, and this sounds stupid now that I'm saying it, but, like, expand what we do, you know? And I think a lot of tools, you know, like, say you start off as a little email tool and then you get to marketing automation, then you get into e-commerce, and, like, you a lot of people do this. You look at, like, Drift, right? Like, they're getting to video and all this shit now. Like, I think that a lot of people do this. They get into one specific thing, they land, and then, like, expand into serving the same customer with more things.
Do you want to do that?
I don't know. I think it's, in a way, I think it's like a pretty established, like, playbook, you know? It is, like, you get into this space, you have a brand, and then you launch little new kind of, like, micro products within the same brand to your customer base, because it solves a lot of the, like, acquisition problem stuff. It's like, you have people already there, you just offer this extra thing that's associated with, you know, what they need and the kinds of things you do. Whether we took money or not, I think that's a decent option. Libsyn, we were talking about Libsyn, has a web hosting platform too that's under their kind of corporate umbrella. And so that, like, that just makes all the sense in the world. We have a ton of customers that have WordPress sites. Why don't we do website hosting? Like, do I want to get into the website hosting business? I don't know. But, like, we already host other stuff.
You've mentioned earlier the, like, other options of raising money. How much, like, I know nothing about, like, what it looks like to raise debt from legitimate investors rather than, like, a kind of a
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, Bigfoot Capital and Lighter Capital are the two big ones in the SaaS space. And I mean, I think they just plug into your Stripe and say, like, you're doing this much. We have a lot of confidence that we could, you know, give you a loan at this rate and get paid back. And obviously the nice thing is, like, then you don't dilute your equity, but you have to pay the money back. And the way I think about that is maybe that's more, like, congruent with the trajectory that I see the business taking is like, you know, we're not, like, a exponential growth. We're not in an exponential growth opportunity, but we're in a maybe significant growth opportunity to where, like, we take the development team from 4 to 10 and hire 3 people on the marketing side and a couple of product people. And we would need $2 million to do that. That is, like, that seems more palatable for, like, the place that I think we could get. But you could do that just with a smaller, like, seed round of giving up equity too.
So it seems like, I guess, for where you're at right now, what do you feel like are next steps? Like, what do you feel like you have to do to get more clarity on where to go, what to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we both probably know a lot of people that have raised money, and I think talking to some of them would be helpful. I would love an introduction to the Friday.com guy and just talk to him about, like, when they were asking themselves these questions, like, what kinds of things did they kind of go through in that process? Because I think if you make the wrong decision, it would really fuck up your life, I think. And, like, it would definitely mess up the business. So I very much don't want to do that. The Tiny Seed experience has been really good. And that, like, gives me some hope that, like, I could do something else like this. Also, I know that, like, we are in a hot market. We're already positioned pretty well. And so, like, the only reason I even think about considering it is, like, we already have a good thing. Like, could this make it better, you know? And if it ends up the answer is yes, then I think it's worth considering.
What would you have to do to get more confident about the direction that you ultimately want to take the business? Because I feel like that's almost the first question you've got to answer. Because that, if you don't want to go the ad network type route, then, and you aren't confident enough that private podcasting as, like, an enterprise kind of solution could be a big enough market to get that sort of outcome you're looking for, then it almost just takes VC off the table. What do you think you would have to do to get more clarity on that kind of more foundational question?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that I have a good answer. I think really like putting some numbers down and like a rough plan of like, if you went down the ad network route, like what would you need? You know, what would you need from like a sales perspective and a management level and a engineering perspective to build the tool? And then, you know, kind of realistically, what would you expect? Like kind of a couple of years worth of projections. I think that would be something to say like, oh, wow, this really, you know, could be something. And I think there are some companies that have released their ad revenue data. So that would be like a benchmark, at least to compare that to. The question of like whether private podcasting is going to be a thing is a little tougher because like I have a lot of conviction in it. And I mean, you see like the membership site world and it's enormous, you know, like there are some enormous people running like enormous membership sites that are run by individuals and companies and stuff. And so like, I totally think that will be a thing. And I think that we could be like a leader in that space for podcasting. And maybe that's all we would need. Maybe like just being the obvious tool for that is what we would need. I don't know if we could get to 50 million doing that, but I haven't like run the numbers. I haven't said like, what if we had, you know, X number of people paying us $1,000 a month. Like a lot of people running these huge membership sites would be very happy paying $1,000 a month for some tool that unlocked a whole new way to communicate with their members. But I don't know how many membership sites that would do that are out there. Like, I don't know if it's hundreds or thousands.
How much do you care about the company getting to 50 million? Because it's almost, you're answering that question of, can I get there? For VC, sure, you need that potentially, but for you, sort of success important to you? And if it is, that's fine. But it's just like, I think that's kind of a good question to ask too.
Yeah, honestly, yes, in a way, like that's just a huge validation of me and the business and everything. I think anybody that said no, I don't want to be doing 50 million a year would be lying to themselves. I think the question is like, what would you have to give up or do differently to get there? And is that okay?
Because how would you feel like if
we could get there at some point, right? In 15 years, we could get there. But if we accelerate that in 5 years, what does changing that path look like?
And how would it feel if you go down that path, but going down that path has the potential of like blowing the business that you have so far? Because I think going down some of those roads, it's not as easy to turn around, especially with the amount of capital it would take without the immediate revenue payoff. And so it's like, is this a bet? Like, I think you have a very high certainty of a $5+ million outcome within the next 5 years. Are you okay with that outcome almost being taken off the table for some percent outcome of a much bigger payout?
Yeah, that's the question. I can't say 100% one way or the other. I mean, I think it's, I can't say. There's definitely a pull both ways. How do you look at it? How would you look at it? Like you're on the same
path. For us, it's kind of like easy because we have the benefit of being in a market that unless we dramatically change the business, is relatively niche. I think it's possible we could get to like less than 10 million a year, maybe 5 million a year, I think would be like a pretty successful outcome for our current business model. And so that immediately just takes like VC off the table. I've thought about that. And like, if there were a good way for us to raise $1 million with debt, I would absolutely do it. Our industry, because it is basically consumer focused, the churn is just too high for any of those lenders to be comfortable with it, even if we show that our growth outpaces it. And so that just takes off like a lot of decisions. And right now there's just so much more for us. Like there's so much growth for us in this current market that like obvious growth. It's like, I don't think we need to change that much. We just need to keep executing, double down on what's working, maybe do a few experiments on paid, whatever it may be. But like the playbook is relatively clear on getting to significant scale from where we're at right now, that I don't want to entertain the idea of significantly changing the business to basically becoming like, we sell data, kind of becoming like an infrastructure company. And the other part of it is that business is just so far out of my own competence. We don't have a tech leader internally that could architect an enterprise grade API. I don't have enterprise sales skills. And those are things we could definitely like hire for, but that adds on more risk than I'm currently willing to take. And so I think where I'm at is just the certainty, and there's still a good amount of risk, but like if we just keep executing, I'm very certain we'll get to a business that generates significant amount of free cash flow for the owners. And then I think it's a question of, do we want to grow slowly from there? We can pivot into some other kind of related markets, or do we then want to place a separate bet on entering like the data market? But I'm really just trying to punt that decision as far down the road, because I know it's something we couldn't do right now. And that's more what's running through my head around it.
I think one of the things that like you touched on is like it requires, like in a good way, maybe, and in a bad way, like a reinvention of the founder to run a different type of business. Think about the business in a different way. Think about the market in a different way. And like even just this conversation has been really healthy to me to say, like, what are my assumptions about the business and how many of those are wrong, right? And then like, what does it really mean? Like for you, what would it really mean for you to be an infrastructure like selling data company? Boots on the ground, people, money to run the business. And then like, what would your potential like market cap be? And like, is that really as big a deal as you think it is, you know?
Yeah, because the way I feel this right now is that as our team has grown, it's become more and more obvious to me that like there are just a lot more deficiencies I need to work on personally on managing a team and just moving the company forward when there's more people involved. And I think I always want to be pushing myself and learning new skills, and rather than just getting into like a kind of coasting role. I don't think there's ever a point where it's like, all right, like I got this. Or at least I never want to get to that point. But I just feel like there are too many unknowns there are too many areas I need to improve right now to be comfortable just going to a step above that and just like really being thrown into the shit. Yeah. And I could see maybe the end of next year being in a more comfortable spot with our organization and all of that to be able to say, all right, I still got to work on some things. There's always gonna be things to work on, but I'm ready to kind of go to the next step and have to learn a lot more or in different areas. I've got enough of a handle on this now.
But those are like small steps when you're ready to, you know, as opposed to one huge step all at one time.
Right. And I'm definitely fine taking bigger steps, but it's just like, I can't even think of a metaphor. Like I'm not jumping in an elevator and like going up a couple floors. Like that's where I think pivoting to something where there are two main areas that we don't have expertise internally on, that's what I feel like that would be. Because we're still figuring out like hiring junior employees. and I feel like we've made good progress there on all of that and managing, we're working through all of that. It's just, okay, now bringing on two senior people who are going to bring on other people. It's just, that's not something I think we're close to ready for. And then at the end of the day, it's also, I don't know if I want that. Like I don't. I think a business that can pay the owners high six figures a year with an enterprise value in the high seven figures is a pretty good spot to be in.
Yep.
And then it's a question of, okay, do we want to go down this path or not? But for me, the answer is like, I guess to the question I asked you before is that moonshot outcome worth potentially, or not even potentially, but like worth lowering the likelihood of still a very good outcome? And for me right now, the answer is no, but that could definitely change.
Yeah. And I think that like, again, like I've had this conversation with folks like Rob Walling, and I think that's they have always said, like, you have to have a really clear yes to, if I took this money, would it significantly change the trajectory of the business? And is that where I want to go? And I think that's kind of what we've been talking about. And I think, yeah, I mean, for you, the answer is not right now, at least, you know? Mm-hmm. And for us, I think the answer is, I don't know, which means the answer is no.
that's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's a good exercise just to think about like how we're growing personally and professionally, because we talk a lot about like growing up as like managers of the business. And I think this would be a huge step in that direction. So like, even if we don't take it, what are things that I should be doing to start kind of moving in the direction to where I would be ready for that when the opportunity was right? That's kind of how I'm looking at it, I guess.
There's a lot to noodle on and think about. And so I'm sure we'll definitely return to this topic in future weeks, even if it's just to say, nope, not doing it, or hey, Andy, we just closed a $10 million round. I've got my Maserati up front. This is going to be great. But we'll see. We'll see. Doubtful, I'm excited to just kind of hear how the journey goes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And folks out there listening, if you have done this or gone through this process and we have missed things to consider or that you've thought about and were helpful, please shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com, or leave a comment in the post for this episode. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Awesome. See you, everybody.